You think of the chorus, the words of that song, "Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart." Wonderful words. So thankful for all of you that are here today. I know we have many out traveling or sick, and we want to always, of course, keep them in our thoughts and our prayers. They are as precious as can be to God and to us. This is the first Sunday of the month of August that we are meeting to worship God in this way, and we pray that we do so in spirit and truth. And, you know, I want you to think about the fact that we've started back in January a theme for the year. And that theme, of course, is how important it is for us to have a consciousness of all those one another commands that are brought to our attention through the Scriptures. And, of course, when we think about that, we've already done so many. We're members of one another. We honor and prefer one another. We are encouraged to encourage and build one another up. We're commanded to care for one another, to love one another, and of course to serve one another and to greet one another. That was our last lesson, and today we want to move on to another one of the one another commands, which is to be like-minded toward one another. You know, that was really the theme of that song that we just sang. To be like-minded like Christ, to be like-minded toward one another, is such an important thing for every one of us as members of the body of Christ. And certainly this is a goal of God for us in our lives. You know, there is a process, and God provides this process to us. And when we implement these one another commands, we literally do become like-minded. You know, maybe I should have had this as the underscore, the last lesson in the series. But the process is very simple. It is very effective. It is very powerful. When we look at the world's religion and how they ignore these one another commands, they turn to the pastoral system, if you will, where the preacher becomes the pastor, the head of the church, and whatever he says goes. And that's not it. We know that. The church has one head. The head, of course, is Jesus Christ, and he is our leader. And so the problem with that system is it's not Christ. And so human leaders can get that all wrong. In our lesson reading this morning, rather, Brother Calvin read from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. And those first two verses there, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, to practice this command is really to take humbleness out of the picture, out of your life. I may have said this before, but I know that, you know, when I was worshiping with the brethren at Brown Street, I was new, really, and they would have me help with the communion like I did this morning in the collection. And I remember, you know, you can imagine there's probably, they had eight men all lined up to do that. And all eight men would stand there like this, and I would stand there like this. You know, little things make a big difference. It took me a while to figure out how that was me being proud. I went up there and, you know, you don't have to stand like this. You can stand like this. And you think, so what's the big deal? The big deal is pride. Because I knew and I realized quickly that standing like this, I did because I was proud and decided I didn't have to be like them. But the, "Oh, to be like thee," right? "Oh, to be like thee." And in the lesson today, we're thinking of being like-minded. We don't want to be a people who are proud and different. We are different people. We have different lives. We have different backgrounds, different upbringings. But in the body of Christ, "Oh, to be like thee." To be like-minded is everything. And as we study this, we'll realize just how important that is, I pray. For example, you think about relationships and how they evolve in people's lives, but how we evolve in our relationships with one another in the body of Christ is important. How we treat one another is important. Everything that has to do with each other is important. And when it comes to relationships in the body of Christ, you know, that church, everybody must be included. That's how like-mindedness brings us all together. There's no such thing as insiders, outsiders. There's no such thing as haves or have-nots. With the church of Christ, with one head, we're all to be one. We're all to be like-minded with one another. So that's such a powerful thing, such a little phrase, like-minded. And you know, one of the unique aspects of the church, that characteristic of the church, is that the Lord's people are like-minded. I want everybody to remember that, how important it is to know that we're all equal in Christ. The eyes of the Lord, you know, in His eyes, everyone, every member of the body of Christ is equal. And so to understand how important this is, because, you know, when we practice this, it brings us to a place where we accept one another as spiritual equals, right? No haves or have-nots. Paul wrote to the saints in Philippi how important this is. Fulfill my joy, he says, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, how can we fulfill that love if we're contrary to one another, if we don't believe the same things, if we're not united, if we're not like-minded? Right? All of us must conform to the one Spirit. Right? When you think about that, when it says according to Christ, we're to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ. What does that mean, according? Well, it means that we're to conform to one Spirit. That is, of course, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that He's given us. We conform to the Spirit, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So important. That's how we conform, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to study God's Word together, to worship God together, all in the same Spirit. Right? We think of that. That is what Christ Jesus did. Jesus did that. You remember the prayer of John chapter 17 of Jesus? And he's praying to the Father. He says, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me. That's us. Now, today, that was the disciples then, it's us now. And at the end of that prayer, he said, so that they may be one as we are one. That was the Lord's prayer, that we be like-minded. You know, at verse 22 in that same chapter, the Lord Jesus said that, you know, he says, and the glory which you gave me, I give them, that they may be one, again, just as we are one. We need to consider the words of the Lord himself. You know, he wasn't a rogue. He wasn't against anything. He was all for God, all for the Father. Everything he did because of the will of the Father. That made him like-minded with the Father. We need to be like-minded with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. That's what verse 6 is really all about. That you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, how good and pleasant It is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That was the, you know, this on the, our opening screen. That's this text, Psalm 133:1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to be like-minded. That's what that means. You know, and we've had lessons from Ephesians 4 before, how it is important for us to endeavor to keep what? The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians 4 and 3. And listen, we could never claim to have unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace if we're not like-minded, if we're not all thinking the same things. You know, what did Jesus give the church? He gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he, you know, but why did he do that? Paul answers that question. Till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why he did it. It's to the perfect man, he said, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of faith, Ephesians 4 and 13. So we need this. Romans 15, it teaches us how we are to accept others as our spiritual equals. And even if we're different in many, many ways, you know, we don't all love to fish. I love to fish. We don't all love to cook. Sister Wanda loves to cook. I'm sure many of you sisters do. We all, you know, some of us are artists and some of us are construction workers. Some of us love this and love that, but we're different in those ways, but we can't be different in spiritual matters. And you notice that in verse 7, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, that carries the idea of including everybody, of course. We must always keep it in mind that when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, it was for the sins of the world, but he did that for all people. Not to say everybody was saved that day, but the fact is that Jesus didn't die for just a few. For God so loved the whole world. You know, I want you to look over in the book of Hebrews with me, chapter 9. Excuse me. Or chapter 2, actually. Verse 9. So, I'm putting this up on the board in the CSB rendition. Your New King James, we read, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering and the death and crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That's what he did. I like the CSV, Christian Standard Bible, but we do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace, he might taste death for everyone. And the point here of interest is that Jesus was made lower. He was the Son of God. He had a throne. He had rule and dominion over everything in heaven. And yet, for a short time, Jesus put that all behind him and became like thee, born in the flesh, living in a world of sin. And you know, in the world, it's totally different. We want to be the top dog. You know, we want to be the head. We want to be the one who tells other people what to do, not the one who gets told what to do. In the world, we tend to push other people down in order for us to get up. But in the Lord's kingdom, we all run the same race. You know, in the world, one person runs and they want to win the prize and leave everybody behind. In the Lord's kingdom, the joy and the glory of it is we're all running the same race side by side. We all cross that finish line together. That's what we want to do. being like-minded is so powerful, so important. You know, I think we need to remember, too, that God's not a respecter of persons. When he made himself lower, think of who he is, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's the master, the great shepherd of the sheep. And he made himself a little lower, right? So that those who are with him are going to be called the chosen and the faithful. To be like-minded brings that to us. And that in itself should remind us of the principles of God. You think about how God shows no partiality, no favoritism. Everybody's the same with God. You know, we think of Jews and Gentiles, the saved, the unsaved. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, there's no partiality with God. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, what color of skin you are, none of that matters. Look over at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 18 with me. Just glean through this for a second and be thinking about that. And you know, I also failed to mention in the beginning of the lesson that I want you to think of me as the donkey. Throughout this whole, just think of me as a donkey. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And I want to, just reading through verses 11 through 18. Notice what you see here. In verse 11, we see phrases like Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision, comma, the circumcision made without hands. Look at verse 12, and you read that without Christ, aliens, strangers from the covenant, having no hope without God. And then you go down to verse 13, and but now in Christ Jesus, you were once afar off, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, made both one, broken down the middle wall of separation. You know, verse 15, a new man. You see that? He created him in himself, one new man. And he did that by the blood, that we're reconciled in one body and access by one spirit. Verse 18. So, you know, that's what it means to be like-minded. Like-minded means that it doesn't matter if you're circumcised, uncircumcised. What matters is that you were without Christ once, aliens, strangers, without hope, without God, and now we're brought together in Christ. By his blood, he broke down the middle wall. He created a new man from the two, one new man. And that is to be like-minded. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 6, concerning the bondservants and masters, Paul points out that they both have the same master, the one master in heaven. Again, there's no partiality with God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 25. So powerful. If you do no wrong, there's no partiality with God. Well, obviously, if we do wrong, there is going to be partiality. There's going to be the difference between saints and sinners. You know, Peter told Cornelius, there is no partiality with God. If God accepted you because of your obedience, because you became like-minded with the Spirit of truth, then shouldn't we be like-minded with our brothers and sisters in the church? And so the fact is that when we are baptized, we are no longer Jew or Greek. We're no longer slave or free. There's neither male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 28. We're equal. And we must look at people through that lens. You know, God made us the way that He made us. Black, white, yellow, tall, short, wide, narrow, blue eyes, green eyes. God made us all. Every single one. And so we're to receive one another as God received us, and that is to be like-minded. Remember what Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that who of you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." He said, all. Come unto me, all. He wants us all to be the same. He wants us all to be in Him. He wants us all to be saved. And He wants us all to separate ourselves from sin to righteousness. And we do that by being like-minded to begin with by His Spirit, and to be like-minded with one another. So very quickly, here's five commands. Again, think of me as the donkey. I don't mind. To receive like-mindedness. And we need to remember that the Lord, we need to be remaining true to the Lord. We need to be like-minded with Him first and above all else in order to achieve the goal that God wants us to have. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 23 through 25, very short verses, we read very simple little statements. There's five little statements, action words they are, if you will. That's what the English teacher would teach us. And the first one is simply hold fast, verse 23. Some translations, you know, hold unwaveringly, and some say hold tightly, but or hold firmly, hold fast. And, you know, in other words, to be unswerving with one another, we need to remain like-minded. You know, what does it mean, really? It means, as it says in the text, it's the confession of our hope. It's our desire as Christians to hold fast to the faith, to be the same. And Paul wants us to remember that also when you think about how they hold fast to the confession of their faith. And that is what God wants, to be like-minded. Secondly, consider one another. Consider one another, thinking of one another, having thoughts about one another, being careful about one another, looking for opportunities to help one another. You know, we go down those one another commands, we'll find them all. And we have to do that if to be like-minded, to receive the final crown of glory. God doesn't want a person that are separatists, always watching out for one another, committing ourselves to do what is right for our brethren. Not necessarily just for me. If it was just for me, you know, then I would always stand like this. That's what me does. But what's good for the brethren? What's good for our church? And, you know, the attention that we give to our regular meetings, It is a way of being like-minded toward one another, to grow spiritually, to grow in maturity. We don't come saying, "What can I get out of this?" We come saying, "How, you know, what are we going to get out of this?" We're going to get refreshment spiritually. We're going to find joy in worshiping God and singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs together, not just self. You know, how do my actions, how do my words, how do I, the things that I present from my own character, how does that help me to be like-minded with my brother? Powerful. And again, it's impossible to claim unity, to consider one another, if we're not like-minded towards one another. It just isn't going to happen. Look at Colossians chapter 3, just a couple of verses. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, comma, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must forgive. Or you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So, you know, that's the next one, stirring up love and good works. That's, you know, that's what it means to provoke unto love and good work. Can't do that if we're not like-minded. Can't do that if we're not together. And in the course of things, you know, to bring ourselves to that position, that spiritual position, to be the most primary of importance in all the assemblies, to focus on God, to focus on our duties, to focus on His will in our lives. Secondary is to focus on others, to remind others, to stir them up to love and good works. That's so important. We can't do that if we're not like-minded. Right? Solomon said, as iron sharpens iron, right? So does the countenance of a friend. So powerful. The more like-minded we are, the more powerful we become as a church. The more like-minded we are, the more powerful in the spirit we become, and the more like-minded we are, literally, we learn to go beyond our comfort zone. To be like-minded helps us to develop and strengthen our abilities as the members of the church in the Lord's kingdom. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Being like-minded means that, you know, we encourage one another equally across the board. To be regular in our attendance. And I, you know, I'm the donkey, and I'm not trying to beat myself, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but to be like-minded means that we're here supporting one another. Every service, if we're capable, if we are able, that's what we are to do. And, you know, with all my soul, I do believe that we can get into the habit of not assembling. And we need to think about how that hurts those who do. And I know it's like a tradition in the churches. I've been to so many different, and many of you have too, been in just church, that church here in this city, that town. And it seems like that theme it's true with every congregation. Well, you know, when you have 200 members, but on Wednesday night you have 50 or 100. Sunday night, morning, you have 200 members there. You have a roster. It's got 200 names, and you got 200 members. Sunday night, 50, 75. It's kind of like a habit that's developed over the years. And I think that the problem is that we don't understand that that diminishes not only my faith, but the faith of the faithful who are in the assembly. It does have an effect when we aren't all like-minded. There is a difference. There is a difference. I want to challenge you with a simple question. What if every saint in the church, every saint, was like-minded? Just as you are about attending. I'm sincere with it. What if every saint in the church was like-minded just as you are about attendance? One of two things is going to happen. Number one, after the morning service, we close those doors, lock them up, and we don't open them again until next Sunday morning. If everybody was the same in their thinking, that would happen. Number two, we'd have the same number of people on Sunday morning as we do Sunday night. The singing on Sunday night would be the same as it is on Sunday morning. The worship would feel just as good on Sunday night as it does on, or Sunday morning as it does on Sunday night. And on Wednesday, the same thing would be true if we were all like-minded in that way. And make no mistake, we're not all in agreement. We're not all like-minded. And the fact is fact. The church suffers because of that. I know from reading writings and articles that back in the 30s, back in the early days, you know, the doors opened, people were there. I also know that over the years, preachers have seen that change. And I also know that in our time, churches are closing their doors on a regular basis. I know that our not being like-minded in this respect causes not only, you know, me to suffer as being not like-minded, but it causes you to suffer. It causes the body to wane. Some people will fall short. Some people fall away. And I want you to be serious as I talk to you about this in your thinking, because when you really bring it down to its smallest denominator, it's actually real easy not to come. And people tend to follow the easy path. So who are the new members and even older members going to follow? What path are they going to follow? And when they see the attendance diminish in the evenings and on Wednesdays, what path are they going to follow? Subliminally, unconsciously, or purposefully, they're going to take the easy road. And I'm the one at fault, because I'm showing them the easy road. In Philippians 3 and 17, the Apostle Paul, you know, he writes, "Brethren, join me in my example. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." Just imagine Paul. What pattern did he show? And that's for you to decide. Each of us individually. For me, the pattern is simple. He was there. There was a time when he was held back in Romans chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 13. And Paul, he mentioned, you know, "I do not want you to be unaware that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now." Hindered means he could be in jail. Hindered means Satan got in the way somehow. Hindered means he broke a leg. Hindered means that he can't walk. Hindered, there's a lot of reasons for hindering. But not, the word choice is not hindering. I just choose not to come. And remember, the church is not separatism. I said that earlier. Separatism is the mind in which they advocate the practice of separation of a certain group of people from a larger body. And that's from Webster's definition. It is not possible to grow spiritually as we should if we are unlike-minded. Somebody once wrote, "The only acceptable reason for not attending Bible study is if you have full, accurate, and complete knowledge of the Scriptures." I don't. Maybe some do. But I need to study. And I need to be in attendance with my brethren. I need to fulfill their joy. I need to help them along the difficult and narrow path. And it's a paradox. If you have so much knowledge that you don't really need to be there, then you need to be there to share your knowledge with the people who don't. Think about that. And of course, exhorting one another. Parakaleo is the Greek word. It simply means to be at one side, to admonish and exhort. I know your time's valuable, my time's valuable. I know how difficult it is in this busy, busy world. And I know how tired we get. But being like-minded means exhorting and understanding how that being together is like a time that's characterized by warmth, friendliness, love. It's a time to be happy together, to rejoice together as a family, a time to learn of each one another's lives, their needs, their accomplishments, to grow closer together, especially with new members. A time to meet visitors, a time to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and making melody in our hearts, Ephesians 5 and 19. It's a time to participate in the Lord's Supper together or to commune with one another. A time to pray together, a time to be led by the one head, the one true head, Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, through His Word. So that we can be like the Father in heaven. After all, the church is the ecclesia. It's the called out ones. It's the assembly. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, I plead with you, brethren, that you all, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's what the church is. That's what the church is to be. And we can't have it both ways, actually. It can't be done. Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Devoted to one another. Love one another. Right? That's being like-minded the way God wants us to be. So let's let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem each other better and more important than ourselves. You know, we all remember the account of Balaam and his donkey and how the donkey sought to protect him. When we give sermons, when we give lessons, when we come together, that's the whole purpose, is to come together, to grow together strong in the Spirit of God, to be part of one another in such a powerful way that the devil can't get in between us, can't separate us. So important it is to be like-minded. And if you're here today and you've not obeyed the gospel, if you've been taught, for example, that you're saved by faith only. If you've been taught that, then you've been taught wrong. You're not like-minded with God. You're not like-minded with Christ. Jesus Christ said that we had to hear and be taught. He said that it was important for us to believe what we've been taught. Jesus himself said that we need to repent of our sins. That we need to confess him before men, and that we need to be baptized for the remission of sin. That's what Jesus taught. He didn't teach that we're saved by faith alone. And so if that's your position today, you can be like-minded with Jesus by obeying him, by obeying the gospel, being baptized for the remission of sins, being added to the church. And if you're a member of the church, and maybe you haven't quite been like-minded with the faith, today's a day that could change too. If you have any need at all this day, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.